Is that coming through all right? Yes, good. We're connected. Reminds me of if you ever get into Dave's car, it's taking you anywhere. It'll connect via Bluetooth to his phone. It'll say, connected to Dave's phone. Well, we're connected to the amplification system. over the sort of Christmas period, we spoke about the idea of Christ being the revelator of the Father. And I just want to sort of continue along that theme. In John chapter 1, verse 18, it says this: "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." And then in John 14, verses 1 to 14, this is Jesus speaking, and this is what he says: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." We see there an awful lot of confusion in the disciples. Jesus is sort of making these statements and saying, "Hang on a minute, what are you talking about? You know," he says, "you know where I'm going, and you know the way there." And Thomas says, "No, we don't." He says that, "Seen the Father," and Philip says, "Show us the Father then, because we haven't seen him." And he's saying, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The way that I'm going, the way that I am, is the way that the Father has decreed." And what Jesus was doing, obviously obtaining salvation for us, but behind it all, he was revealing the Father's heart for us. You know, it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That's part of his character, it's part of his being. And the life of Jesus is a revelation of what the Father's heart, what his character is like. God wants people to know him. God wants people to know what he's like. He wants his character to be seen. He wants to reveal that to us. And yet so oftentimes people are just like the disciples and they seem so blind. You know, sometimes you can have something so close to you, you just can't see it. You know, I'm short-sighted, but as I'm getting older, I'm losing that short-sightedness and I'm sort of going towards more normal sight. You know, if you're long-sighted, it sort of goes the other way. When I was younger and I was at work, some of the finest work I did without magnifying glasses, and people say, "Oh, how can you see things that close?" Because sometimes things are so close, they're out of focus. And I didn't understand that. Now I'm understanding what they're talking about because I'm sort of there and I can't actually focus and I'm having to get the magnifying glass myself. But you see the point. Sometimes things are so much there in our face, as it were, that we can't see it. Sometimes the obvious seems so obscure. But God is attempting to reveal his character to us. How does he do that? Well, first of all, he does it through his word. We read, or can read, and see what sort of character he has. He seeks also to reveal his character through Jesus. As Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What I do, it's what he wants to do. The way I am, it's the way he is. God also attempts to reveal his character through his actions. And he also attempts to reveal his character and his being through us, the church. If people are not Christians, how do they know about God? How many have read the Bible? Certainly not a majority. People who've read the Bible, I'm not saying nobody's read it, but what I'm saying is that people who have read it for themselves are few. Perhaps they've heard stories, perhaps at school, what other people have said, and they pick up ideas from that. Second-hand stories. Things deteriorate as they progress through a chain. Yeah? So the second-hand story is certainly not as good as the first-hand story. How many know about Jesus? If you talk to people these days, sometimes the idea that you'll get back is, oh, he's just a fictional character. He's imaginary. His friend in the sky. He didn't really exist. That shows a great illiteracy and a lack of understanding on their part, but that can be very much a modern kind of view. And how about God's actions? If you've ever looked through your insurance clauses, what does it not cover? Acts of God. Well, everything, yeah. It sometimes seems like that when you're trying to make a claim, yeah. Oh, well, there's an exclusion clause for that, yeah. You're not covered. But it says there, acts of God. And what does it mean by acts of God? Things that have gone wrong, yeah? So there's this association with natural disaster with acts of God. You know, the tsunami was a act of God. That's what sort of things that God does. That's a bad press, isn't it? Yeah? But that's the sort of idea that so many people have. To a large extent, I would say the majority of people in this world will discover God's character through us. They see us, and we align ourselves with God. And they say, well, that's what he must be like. Because how many times, if you talk to people, one of the first things they'll bring up as a sort of a thing against God is the church. Yeah? If there's been a scandal in the church, if there's been something go wrong, it's the church, so it must be God. And he gets maligned, as it were. And some of that's true. You know, let's not kid ourselves. There is truth in that. And it's possible for us to mar God's name. Sadly, it is true. We don't always get it right. Sometimes we do give God a bad press. But so oftentimes the church does get it right, but it's not publicized. So often the things that the church does are done quietly, under a darkness, if you like, of, oh, well, that's just the church. You see, if the church does it wrong, it's God's fault. And if they do it right, well, that's just the way they are. Seems like you can't win. And so many people take for granted what we have. Do you know, Western society is built upon Christianity. If you can compare Western civilization with other civilizations, you see huge differences. You know, we're talking about the work that Frederick and Reba do out in India and perhaps a missions trip out there. The world view in India is totally different. It is changing. But if you're having a bad time, well, people can't help you because that's your karma. You know, it's working out for you that way. And why on earth should I bother about you? Because it's my karma to be well off. So why on earth should I give you any money? But Western civilization has been shaped by Christianity to a great extent, and it's showing God's character. The idea of justice and fairness for all, not just the ones who are in power and able to do what they want, because they happen to be the ones who hold the purse strings or the overall power. The value of each and every individual. The fact that each of us are of equal value and worth. Just because you're born of whatever doesn't mean to say that you are more valuable than anybody else. But that whole idea comes from Christianity. It's based on what God wants us to be like. It's based on his character, that he looks on us and he values us. But we find that the further we move away from God, then we're losing that shaping. And we see that so often in modern society. It's losing its roots that it's based on. And so the character of God is not so clearly displayed. But God has chosen the church to be his revelator. The Holy Spirit sent by Jesus living in us is meant to reveal the character of God. Matthew 5:13-16, very well known passage, Jesus talking to them there says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? No longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill." He then goes on to say, "In the same way, let your light shine among men." We are God's way. We are God's chosen way to reveal himself to the world. We're called salt. Salt in those days was used as a preservative. To quote Saltworks, an American sea salt company, it says this: "Salt was used as part of an Egyptian religious offering, a valuable trade between the Phoenicians and their Mediterranean empire. It was of great importance. Salt made cultures. Even today, the history of salt touches our daily lives. The word salary was derived from salt, as Julius told us before. Yeah, some of the Roman soldiers were paid out in salt. Not only that, the word salad comes from the word salt. And that began with the early Romans salting their leafy greens. Yeah, and enjoying their vegetables with a touch of salt. How many have had a tomato with a touch of salt on it? Yeah, improves the flavor. But it's said that salt, used as a preservative, was so much of a foundation of civilization because it helped to eliminate the dependence on seasonal vegetables. It would preserve and keep so that you could have things longer. Yeah? And Jesus says, be salt. How are we being salt? By showing God's character to those around us. He wants us to change things for good. He wants us to be a transforming people as his character works through us and shines through us. He called us light, light of the world, city on a hill. City on a hill can be seen from miles around. We were in Malta recently and there was a place there called Rabat and Dina. And Malta is fairly flat. There are a few hills. But as you're going along the road, this city stands out. It's got a nice big dome on it, you know, and it shines. You can see it all over. And God says, be like that. Obvious. You know, I used to, when I was driving, sort of plot my course by where Rabat was, because I could see it. You know where you are. He calls us light. Light's a revelator. There's no hiding when the light's on. Light reveals so much. It reveals colours. You know, as the light dims, things go grey. When the light comes on, there's that transformation. Bright colours show, dark colours show. We can see the contrast. Jesus says, be that. Show the contrast. So how do we do it? Well, one way we can do it is by standing up and saying, that's not right. That's not right. You didn't know how to do it that way. What effect does that have on people? We can be completely correct when we do it, but what effect does it get? negativity. Oh, you people are just against everything. Yeah? We can be completely true, you know, it didn't ought to be that way. Well, maybe it didn't. But there was ways to say that, yeah? If we come across in the negative sense, that's not the way God comes across. We can tell what's wrong. We can tell what we don't like. But we can quickly be given a reputation as people who like nothing. The better way is to support what's good, to encourage the good, and if necessary, to do what's good ourselves because nobody else is doing it. Stand against wrong, yes, and then show the better way. Support the weak and disadvantaged. Support justice. Support fairness. Support equality. Support the downtrodden. Show God's character, because that is what he's about. That's the way God works, and it's the way we need to work too. Because Jesus said, as you do good, you'll glorify your Father in heaven. Because of the changes in society, we have to make a right to be heard. Because so many Christian values these days are looked upon as being out of date, looked as being wrong. Perhaps we are in a minority, but we can still affect. You only need a small amount of salt to be the preservative. We need to show and we need to declare. God's character is shown through the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. But if anybody's seen the Old Testament, more often than not, the view that they have of it is that it's a book or a combination of books of judgment, wrath. Go in and kill these people. Do this, do that. God pouring out his judgment. How many people have you come across who've got an idea of the Old Testament like that? Yeah? On a superficial reading, we can see that. And it's not a new view. You know, in the second century, there's a guy called Marcion who said, well, there was a God in the Old Testament, and he was a wrathful God. He was an evil God. He was just trying to kill people. But now the New Testament's come, and Jesus is here, and he's totally different. That's not true at all. God is there throughout. God is unchanging. You know, you read in Genesis 15, 12 to 16, as God is talking to Abraham. This is what he says. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be slaved, enslaved, and ill-treated. But I will punish the nations that serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Later on, they will be told to go in and attack and destroy the Amorites. They weren't going to go and do that now, because God had set a bar. Even at that stage, we can see the mercy of God. He was giving them time to stop, to repent, to turn round, but they wouldn't. They were just continuing along that path. But even today, we can see, as we look, that there's a point beyond which God says, no, that's it, no more. And that was what was happening in the Old Testament. No change, the same God. Thomas wanted to see the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is what we term in computer terms as WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. With God, the Father, and with Jesus. In the Old Testament, we see in Exodus 34, God declares, I am the Lord. And he lists various characteristics, and a later time, a later series, we'll go through those. But in one of them, God declares himself to be faithful. He says he's abounding in faithfulness. He's reliable. unchanging. People value fairness, reliability, that steadfastness. You know, oh, that's somebody you can rely on. And that somebody needs to be us. Because we need to be able to show God's faithfulness, reliability, and unchangeable nature. Dave's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is God pouring his character into us and us demonstrating his character to those around us. Being a revelator of God. We need to be people who are faithful. Because that gives us a bridge into other people's lives. You know, we can't go over to them and say, look, you can't do this. We can. But as soon as you do that, the wall will come up and they'll cut you off. But as we're faithful, as we demonstrate God's character, we have a bridge into their lives. Because people want others to be faithful with them. They want a reliability. And so much of what we take for granted today is based on faithfulness and reliability. And God is calling us to mirror his character, to show his character, and to be faithful. We see that faithfulness in Jesus because that faithfulness is part of God. Let's show that faithfulness to those around us. Because it's not a case of just doing and not speaking. But as we're faithful, as I say, it gives us that bridge, that connection with people, that right to be heard. And then we can talk. Yeah, I'm faithful, but so is God. I'm faithful because God is faithful. The faithfulness you see in me is because the faithfulness that I've seen in him. I don't let you down. That's because God doesn't let me down, and he won't let you down either. We need to allow God to develop his character in us, reveal his character to those around us, through us. It's what he wants. It's his idea. It's his church. Let's live it.